to God. Well, it's so good to see you this afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for being a part of this. We've got a great word for you today. It is Increase Day here at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, and we're so glad that we're able to be able to minister this word. We had an amazing, amazing partner service, this last one that we just had. And all of the things that, you know, when you get around something like this, you get around this anointing, that prophetic anointing, and there is an exchange that takes place, and it's available to every one of us. Whatever, as a partner with this ministry, you know, it's interesting what I see happen with the partners of this ministry. You know, all the flooding that took place in Houston a couple of months ago, we sent our disaster relief team down there to check on our partners. And not one of our partners were affected by what took place in Houston. Isn't that something? I mean, I see that we are partakers of the grace that is on this ministry. You know, Terry and I are partners with this ministry. We've been partners for many years. And we are partakers of the same grace that's upon Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for whatever is necessary, whether it's protection or freedom from fear or prosperity, whatever it is, that anointing is on us and we walk on it. The anointing for increase is on this ministry. It's on this ministry right now. I checked the financial figures, the year-to-date figures for the ministry and the church. The end of the month of October, we are up. We are up. I'm telling you, we're up. And so I look at you today and I tell you, you are up. You are up. You are increasing more and more. And so it's so good to be with you. And I want to greet all of those that are watching us right now on either BVOVN, on our networks, on our internet channels. We welcome you from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around. Come on, praise God for them. Amen. Well, today I've got something that I want to talk to you about. And before we get into that, though, I want to read this word from the Lord. This was a word from the Lord that was given to Jerry Savelle. It was December the 31st of 2016. And it was for this new year. For the year of 2017. And now 2017 is not over yet, is it? Are you believing? Yes. And receiving? Yes. You know, some of you have been believing to be out of debt this year. And the problem that people run into is they look at the calendar and they see all those dates going by and all those months going by. And they only think to themselves, well, it's November, well, we're almost at the end of the year. I'm telling you, this is miracle time. It's miracle provision time. I have high expectation for what God is going to do in the last 2 months of this year. You should have the same expectation. And don't get off your faith. If you're believing God for debt freedom before the end of the year, don't get off your faith with it. I mean, all it takes is one major, gigantic check that comes through. And as we do at Eagle Mountain International Church, every Sunday we make our confession of faith. And one of the things that we say over our offerings is we believe we receive checks in the mail. Checks in the mail. Or checks transferred online. Whatever it takes. We take it. Say, I take it. Okay, so this is the word that Brother Savelle gave for 2017. And 2017 ain't over yet. There's a level of prosperity that you've never known or ever hoped for. But I'm empowering all those who dare to believe that it's available. Do I have anybody in here who dares to believe that level of prosperity is available? And I will show them how to tap into it, and it'll begin to manifest in their lives in this coming year. I will take them to a higher level of prosperity and success, which they did not ever think was possible. Wow. This is the time for my faithful ones to flourish and to thrive and to excel in every area of their lives. It will indeed be a year unlike any other you have ever known. for special and unusual and extraordinary blessings are being released right now and will continue to be released throughout 2017. Say, I receive it.
I take it.
It will be glorious in your sight. Now, here's the instruction. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. These are the days that you've longed for. Determine that giving up is unacceptable. Don't ever even give it another thought. I'm honoring your patience. I'm honoring your steadfastness. I'm honoring your unwavering stand on my word. And remember, I've declared that the faithful shall abound in my blessings. The time has come for you to experience this in its fullness. Rest assured that I'm faithful to bring this to pass. So rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Let's rejoice in that together. What an amazing and magnificent word that is. Let's pray over this message right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time of teaching. And I thank you that you are enlarging. Our capacity to believe you is enlarging. It's growing bigger and bigger all the time. And I thank you, Father, that you are ministering to your people right now through this word, and that we're going to receive something that we either have not known was ours, or we knew it, but we've let it slip. So, Lord, we're not letting the good thing slip. We are partaking of every benefit that we have in the word of God. And we receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, let me just mention this to you. Have you ever had something given to you that you did not know it belonged to you, that it was yours all along, and all of a sudden this came to you, and it was something of a surprise that you did not know was yours? And I'll give you an example of this. My sister and I had a distant aunt, that a relative, that she had passed away a number of years ago. And I guess it was maybe 10 years after she passed away, my sister and I found out that she had left us an inheritance, and we didn't know about it. We weren't aware about it. And so what did my sister and I do? We took it. We did whatever was necessary for us to partake of what belonged to us that we did not know was ours. So we took it. And today I want to share something with you. And this is something that I learned from Brother and Sister Copeland many years ago. And we've just begun to reteach this, to really bring it back to the forefront. But it's something that really goes along with one of the callings of this ministry. You know, I've been with Kenneth Copeland Ministries for 41 years. 41 years I've been with this ministry. And it seems sometimes like it has just flown by, but it has been the most exciting thing that I've ever experienced in my life, to be able to have in-laws like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Of all the people that I could have been connected with, the Lord connected me with them, and I'm so thankful for that. And I have been a student of Kenneth and Gloria for all of these years. For those of you that watch Gloria and I on those broadcasts that we do, what a time we have. It's so exciting to come into the studio to find out what Gloria Copeland is going to say. What kind of gloryism is going to come out today? I'm thinking about putting together a book of just gloryisms. All of those things that she says when we're on the broadcast. And I really wish sometime you could get a peek of what goes on in between the broadcasts, because she has everybody in that studio laughing. It's really quite a time that we have with each other. But you know, I never take it for granted that when I sit at the table with her, I am sitting at the table with the Gloria Copeland, the one who has worked with Brother Copeland for 50 years in this ministry. They've been married for 50 plus. And what an honor it is to be able to do that. But all that to say, I've always been a student of theirs. And listen very carefully. Very carefully. And I remember the day that I was on a meeting with Brother Copeland. This was early, early on, when I first started working for him. And I would listen very carefully. Every time he would say, this ministry is called to do such and such, I would write it down. Every time. And eventually, all those things that I wrote down became the mission statement of what we are called to do as a ministry. But one of the things that the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland early on was to teach the laws that govern supernatural abundance and prosperity. That is one of the responsibilities that this ministry has. And one of the reasons that you see Gloria and I teaching, and one of the reasons why I come on that broadcast with the notes that I do, is because I took that mission as my own. I received that mission as my own. That I was to be a part of this to teach the laws that govern supernatural abundance and prosperity. And so Gloria and I started this 7 years ago. We started on the broadcast together 7 years ago. And we just finished taping a couple of weeks ago. We finished up with our 310th day of prosperity, which will be aired the first 2 weeks of next year. Glory to God. And so that's what this is all about today. We are really fulfilling the mission and the mandate to teach you how to prosper, for us to know how to walk in a place of supernatural abundance. It is God's will for you to prosper. And He's given us everything that it takes to do that in His Word. He's laid that out before us. He's given that to us. And He wants us to be not only prosperous personally in our own lives, but He wants us to be prosperous enough that we are helping to fund the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the church at Eagle Mountain, we are together as one, but financially we operate separately. The congregation of EMIC pays for everything that's connected with the church there. And one of the things that we got to fulfill this year was that the church was able to present Kenneth and Gloria with a $1 million check for the budget of the Southwest Believers Convention. Hallelujah! And we've been building up towards that over the years, starting with $100,000 and $250,000. But the church did it. The people of the church did it. And so we are believing for the return, the hundredfold return. Say, the hundredfold return is working for me all the time. That's something else that I learned from Gloria, that the Lord told her, that hundredfold is working for us all the time. And so we have high expectation of what He is doing, what He can do for your life, and what He can do for in your life. And what I'm going to bring to you today is something so important that you can take this, you can apply it right away. It's something that we have done in the ministry that to be able to believe God for the finances necessary and all of the other things that we're calling into the ministry. And this is so important to me that I've made the notes available to you online, kcm.org. You can go to that right now if you want to, those of you that are watching by television. No different from what we do on the broadcast. And the reason that I want you to have these notes is that you can go back through the scriptures, because there are a number of scriptures that I'm going to bring to you. But you can go back through these scriptures together, you, your family, if you have a business, church, pastors, ministers, whatever it is, you go back through these notes together and you use them to be able to train yourself and to teach others. And as I tell pastors and ministers, you can download these, print these out. We've had, of our notes, we've had in excess of over 1 million notes that have been downloaded, that we have made absolutely free. And so this is very important. And as I said before, some of you may have heard this before, but it's good to be refreshed in it. But you know, I taught this recently in our church, and I asked the people, I said, how many of you have ever heard of this concept that I'm telling you right now? And hands went up. So this is going to be something that I believe will be not only groundbreaking for you, but it's been groundbreaking for us. As both the pastor, the senior pastor of the church, and the CEO of the ministry, I've got my faith out there with Brother Copeland for everything that he's believing for. My own perspective with Brother Copeland is I see myself as Jonathan's armor bearer. You remember what Jonathan's armor bearer said? Whatever is in your heart to do, we'll do it. Brother Copeland, whatever's in your heart to do, let's do it. Let's do it. Believing for a Gulfstream fight, let's do it. Believing for a 747, let's do it. Because you got to understand, every time he says something like that, I write it down. I capture all of those things. Every time something like that comes out. And the great thing about it is that as I teach and train our staff these things and teach and train the partners these things, he was standing here today talking to us about the Gulf Stream and believing for everything that it takes to believe for that. Now, some may have thought to themselves sitting in here, but you don't understand. I've got a house payment to make. I've got this to do. You've got to understand that what was going on here was the anointing was coming on you to be able to take care of what you need to do. Enlarge your vision. You've got to get to the place where you enlarge the capacity on the inside of you to see beyond paycheck to paycheck. It's time. It's time. And I'm declaring over every one of our partners that you are prospering beyond measure. You are prospering, coming in, going out. You've got things coming to you all the time. And that's what this is all about. And so today, I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about making withdrawals from your heavenly bank account. We are going to make a withdrawal today. Are you ready to make a withdrawal?
Yes.
Are you ready to receive what rightfully belongs to you? Some of you don't even know that you have a heavenly bank account. Some of you realize that you've got earthly bank accounts, but many don't realize that they have a heavenly bank account. And so that's what we're going to do today, and we're going to take you through this. So take a look with me at Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 14. He's talking there to the church, and he's saying, notwithstanding, you have well done, and you did communicate with my affliction. You did minister to me through your finances. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I want you to underline that scripture there. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, that's the attitude that this ministry has. That's the attitude that Kenneth and Gloria have. It's not that they're desiring a gift. They're wanting to see fruit abounding to your account. Now, we know, first of all, that there are bank accounts on earth. How many of you have a bank account? Let me see your hands. How many of you have multiple bank accounts? I believe in Jesus' name that you are going to have multiple bank accounts. I would recommend to you that even if you took whatever the minimum is of a bank account, you go open another bank account. You open up another storage area to be able to handle all of the wealth that is coming into your life. Make sure that you have those storage areas ready and prepared to be able to bring that into. And you know, the Bible talks about accounts. I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures. The ones that we turn to, I'll tell you, but the ones I want you to write down. And this is one that I'd like you to write down. This one is Philemon 1:18. In the Amplified, it says, Paul was saying, and if he has done you any wrong in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. So the Apostle Paul had an account. The Apostle Paul was not a poor man by whatever religious thinking has been portrayed of him before. He was not a poor man. When he was before King Agrippa, they were thinking that they could bribe him. Now, you don't try to bribe a poor man. You don't try to get money out of a poor man that they thought they could get something from him. Well, the Apostle Paul, it says here, charge that to my account. In John 12:6, Judas had the bag or the money box or the purse of the 12. So Jesus had an account. He had an account. an earthly account. In 2 Chronicles 31:11, it says, "Then Hezekiah commanded them to prepare chambers for storage." The Hebrew word for chambers there is storehouses. Storehouses. In the house of the Lord. And in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about how the Lord will command the blessing upon your storehouses. So in Jesus' name, I command that blessing on your storehouses right now. You have earthly storehouses, but we also have to realize that there are bank accounts in heaven. There are bank accounts in heaven, and they're not subject to theft. They're not subject to ruin, corruption, economic conditions of any kind. And in Luke 12:33, it says, "A treasure in the heavens that fails not." There's a treasure in the heavens that fail not. And what the Philippians did here is they opened up a bank account in heaven. They opened up a bank account there. And if you look with me at verse 15, it says again, "Now you Philippians know that also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Now let me give you a couple of translations of that. This Godspeed translation says, "No church but yours went into partnership and opened an account with me." The Williams translation says, "No church but yours went into partnership with me to open an account of credits and debits." So you see here, they opened their account by giving. You open your account by giving. So let me ask you this. How many tithers in the room? Tithers. Hands going up everywhere. How many sowers in the room? Sowers. I am telling you right now, you have a bank account in heaven, and it is full and overflowing right now. Right now. You've got accounts in heaven right now. And they open theirs by giving. And in verse 17, take a look at this. "Now, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Let me read to you a couple of translations of that. "Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and I'm eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account." Now, as I read these translations to you, we as a staff back home, as a ministry, we have been putting pressure on those accounts. I went back, I was the executive director from 1988 until about 1995. And then I became executive director again at the beginning of the year. And so I get to do both. I get to pastor the church and I'm the executive director. But when Brother Copeland laid hands on me, he said, "You're a pastor first." So I'm executive directing under the pastoral anointing. And so, but one of the things that I did when I first became executive director is I inspected the fields. Well, what does that mean? I inspected the fields. I did the same thing that Joseph did in Egypt. He went out and he inspected all of the fields. And there was so much grain out there that he could not even measure it. There was no way to measure how much was out there. Well, I did the same thing with the ministry. I went out and I inspected the fields. Well, what does that mean, inspecting the fields? I looked at every place where we had sown seed. I suggest you do the same thing. It'll be an encouragement to you. I looked at all of the 10% that has gone out there to various ministries around the world. I looked at all of the giving that we've done through our benevolence, through our disaster relief. I looked at all of the giving that, I mean, how many of you have ever benefited from a product on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast that you didn't have to pay a cent for? Let me see your hand. Hands up everywhere. Well, you know what that is? Seed. Seed. I'm looking for every seed that we have sown on the Believer's Voice of Victory network. We have ministers of the gospel that are on there that are preaching, and the Lord just led Brother Copeland to not charge them anything. Now, normally on any network, they charge you by the broadcast. Well, This is typical, Brother Copeland. I mean, this is supernatural, Brother Copeland, to hear from the Lord and to say, no, we're not going to charge for what they, the time that they have, we're going to sow it into their lives. So I looked at that field. I looked at that field and I said, seed, harvest, 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 harvest. And then I've looked at all the airplanes that we've helped to repair, and I looked at all the trips that we've sown into different people. I mean, I had a list that long of all of the areas where we have sown where we could call in harvest. And you know what I did? I put a dollar amount to it. I'm sure it's in excess of this for last year. I did it for last year. And this ministry, with all of that combined, sowed over $17 million. Seed! Seed. Now, we have to realize, though, that with that, we have an account in heaven. We have a bank account in heaven, and we can make supernatural withdrawals from that account. That's a harvest that belongs to us. Somebody shout, harvest. And you need to do the same thing. You need to become harvest minded. Need to become harvest minded. The Lord has been pleased with us where sowing seed is concerned. But He wants us to reap that harvest. He wants us to pull out of our account. And you better believe that I'm making withdrawals right now out of that account for everything that is needed in this ministry. I mean, it's been an amazing year that we've had this year so far. And all of the things that have been accomplished and all of the things that have been done. But there's more. There's more. You can hear Brother Copeland talk about it down here. The vision for this ministry is growing more and more and more. I was with him the day earlier this year when we were over at his house and having one of our meetings. And all of a sudden, you can tell when the anointing comes on him and he's going to say something. I always pull out my phone. I record those things. And sure enough, he's sitting there in his chair and he's saying, we're going to have to get more aggressive. We're going to have to get more aggressive about reaching the United States and Canada. We're going to have to get more aggressive about reaching the continent of Africa. We're going to have to get more aggressive about reaching Latin America and the islands of the world. We're going to have to get more aggressive about it. And I'm listening to this and hearing this. And so that's all part of the vision. That's all part of what God has called us to do. You know, with this meeting that Reinhard Bonnke is having, we sowed over $300,000 into that meeting. You sowed over $300,000 into that meeting. As a partner with this ministry, you have every right to make withdrawals out of that you have sown into this ministry. It's big. It's a big harvest. It belongs to you. But one of the things that has held us back is that people have not known this information. They've not known this revelation. In another translation, it says, I'm anxious to see the abundant return placed to your account. To your account. The Moffat translation, I'm anxious for the interest that accumulates to your divine account. Another translation, I seek for the profit which increases to your account. And another one says, what I value is the interest that is mounting up in your account. Those of you who have faithfully sown seed, faithfully given, there is interest that has been mounting up in your account. And it's time to make a withdrawal. It's time to get that out and get it down here and get it working for us. Now turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20, 21 further gives us this revelation that we have a heavenly bank account. Say, I have a heavenly bank account, and it is full. It is overflowing. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through or steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, this is not telling us to not have accounts, physical accounts in earth. We just read scripture talking about that. We just read scripture about Jesus having the money bag. We read scriptures about Paul having an account. So there's nothing wrong with it. What's wrong is when you put your trust in that. When you put all your trust in those accounts. What we have to focus on, though, is what are we laying up in our heavenly account? So it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The word lay up in the Greek means deposit. Deposit. We make deposits. I like what the Message translation says. It says, stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth, rust, and burglars. I like that. I like that. Stockpile. Stockpile treasures up in heaven. And it tells us in 1 Timothy 6:19, let me read it to you. You can lay up in store, they lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. He did not say there that we have to wait until we get to heaven to enjoy it. No, we're laying it up in store for the time we need to lay hold on it. How can I express to you the determination that is on the inside of us? Speaking from the ministry side, speaking from the administrative side, looking at all the vision, looking at all of the things that need to be done, that we want to do. I mean, we're talking right now about that church in Sutherland Springs. We're talking right now and making inroads into being able to help them do whatever they need to get done to get that church rebuilt, whatever it takes. I mean, that's the vision that Brother Copeland has. He has on him the anointing and the mandate from God. It's a mandate from God to teach the laws that govern supernatural abundance and prosperity. And the anointing that Gloria has to teach people that it is God's will for them to prosper. But there are things that we need to know and things that we need to apply. And I am pulling out everything that we know in the Word of God to be able to stand and believe God for whatever it is that we need. We've gotten aggressive about calling in our harvest. Oh man, have we gotten aggressive about that. We talk about it all the time. We talk about calling in our harvest, receiving that harvest, exercising our faith. Because some people think that the crop is going to just jump into the barn without the farmer going out there and bringing it in. Well, that farmer sowed the seed. Then God brings the increase, and then the farmer goes out there and he harvests it. Well, you and I are the farmers, and we have a faith responsibility. It's not just going to jump in your lap. There's an exercise of faith that takes place. And you're going to have to get aggressive about it. You're going to have to get aggressive about calling it in. And you're going to have to get aggressive about keeping your mouth shut whenever you are tempted to say, well, I guess it ain't working for me. I guess this faith stuff is not working for me. No, well, you're getting what you're saying. No, you need to change that. You say, it's working for me all the time. This is working for me all the time. My faith is working. My faith is getting stronger and stronger. My faith capacity is enlarging more and more. These last couple of weeks in church, last week, I'm going to do it again this week, during our offering time, we played a feature about David Oyedepo, Bishop David Oyedepo. Largest church in the world. Brother Copeland goes there every year. To Nigeria. 54,000 people in each one of their five services. Come on, pastors. Come on. Come on. And the Lord ministered to me. It was actually through Gloria, because on the last broadcast that we did, we spent a day talking about David Oyedepo and how he read the laws of prosperity, God's will is prosperity, and his Bible. That was in 1982. He went on a 3-day fast. And he came out of that 3-day fast with the secrets to kingdom prosperity. And what he did, he applied those secrets of kingdom prosperity. And now the man has the largest church in the world. And Gloria and I were talking about it on the broadcast. And after the broadcast, Gloria said to me, George, you ought to show that to the church. You ought to show that feature to the church. Get them to build their faith. Get them to build their vision. And so I did it last Sunday. And I mean, they had the flyover of that building and all of those thousands and thousands and thousands. They have over 350,000 people come to church on Sunday. So I'm showing it to my congregation. And I'm sharing with them those keys to the kingdom prosperity, those things that we need to be walking in. And so I am building and enlarging our vision to be able to see more than we've ever seen before. God wants you to see the fullness of the picture that He has for you. But it's going to take you waking up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up your faith. Wake up your believer. Wake up. I don't care what your family has been like. I love your family dearly. But I don't care what their background was like. I don't care what kind of a background you came out of. The reason that I'm showing my congregation that feature is because I want us to enlarge our vision. My vision is not big enough. It's not big enough yet, but it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger and bigger. I mean, it is enlarging. It is enlarging. And that's the same thing that needs to happen to you. And we have a responsibility as a ministry for partners who are connected with this ministry. We have a responsibility to you to not hold back. Because if we hold back, you hold back. Like pastor, like you. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to hold back. I'm not holding back. Even as I'm standing here talking to you right now, my vision is enlarging. My vision is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I see the revival capital of the world. I see it. Some of you partners don't know what that is. In 1970, Brother Copeland was flying home from a meeting. And he heard on his radio a voice that said, "Coming to you from the revival capital of the world." And he said to himself, "I know that there is an entertainment capital of the world, that's in Hollywood. I know that there's a political capital of the world, that's in Washington. But where is the revival capital of the world?" And there was no answer. 3 years later, 1973, a friend of Brother Copeland takes he and Gloria out to the property that we are on now. And that property was an abandoned air base, 1,500 acres out there. And Brother Copeland went out to take a look at it. And as he stepped, let me back up just a moment. That property out there, and I did not know this until just a few days ago. Just a few days ago. It was in 1970. Jerry Savelle told me this. Jerry Savelle said he and Brother Copeland would go out to that property and do touch and goes. And what Brother Copeland had to do back then when he'd come in to do a touch and go, he'd had to shoo the cows out there, cattle out there. Had to shoo them out of the way and then do the touch and go. And Jerry told me, I did not know this until just the other day. Jerry told me that as Brother Copeland would touch, he would touch down, he would say, he'd look over at Jerry and he'd say, "You're hearing me say it, I'm going to own this property one day." He'd fly around, and I videoed Jerry doing that. He stood that day. He'd fly around, and they'd come back around, and they'd touch down, and he'd look over at Jerry and said, "You're hearing me say it. I'm going to own this property one day." Well, that was also in 1970, but the connection of the revival capital wasn't quite there yet. So in 1973, these friends brought Kenneth and Gloria out there, and Brother Copeland stepped onto the property, and when he stepped onto that property, the Lord said to him, "This is the revival capital of the world, and you are going to build it." And on that day, Brother Copeland told the Lord, he said, "I accept that. I accept it." And years went by, and it was in 1979 that we actually acquired the property. We finally acquired the property. There's a long story with that, which he has told before. But he sat down with me because my first job at the ministry was graphic design. That was my background. And he had me. I came there in 1976. I was going to ORU in 75. I met his daughter Terry there. We got dating. We got to know each other. And by the end of 75, we were engaged. We were engaged. I mean, end of September, October, November, December. We got engaged. We were engaged. So yeah. So we went. She took me home to meet the parents. I didn't know what a Kenneth Copeland was at that time. I had no idea. I just knew he was a preacher. And so she took me home to meet the family, and I kind of went back. I went through this backwards because you're supposed to ask the dad first for his daughter's hand in marriage. And I didn't do that, so I got that backwards. But anyway, I went out to the office, the little office that we had out there, and I sat down across his desk from him, and he said, "George, what is it that you want to do? What is it? What goals do you have in life?" I mean, he's thinking to himself, "What have I gotten myself into with this guy here sitting at my desk?" He said, What is it that you want to do?" And I looked at him and I said, "I want to be a man of God. I want to be a man of God." And so he said, "Okay, I'm going to send you my Bible course." And this is 1976. I'm thinking Bible course, you know, a little pamphlet or a book or something like that. Well, I got back to ORU, and 2 days later they called me and said, "Come get your boxes." Kenneth Copeland sent me every cassette tape that he had. Every series that he had, he sent it to me. And so I started listening immediately. I started listening to those series. And so as a thank you to him, I sat down and I drew a Jesus is Lord logo for him. And I framed it and I sent it to him. I've got it to this day. I've kept it. And so I gave it to him. And the next thing I know, he has Terry bringing me home from college for that summer job in 1976. He said, "George, I want you to start an in-house art department." And he also took me on the road with him and traveled everywhere he went. Back then, he was doing three-day meetings every other week. So I do the artwork for a week and a half, then I go on the road and be with him, come back, do the artwork, and so forth. And he came to me in the middle of that summer, and he said, "George," he said, "I've been praying, and I believe you need to go before the Lord on this, but I believe that you're supposed to stay with me." He said, "This ministry's starting to take off. We're starting to go on radio." And he said, I "you just need to pray about it." And the Lord had me stay. This has been the longest summer job that I've ever had in my entire life. Well, so I stayed there. And so that was 1976, 1977. Terry and I got married, 78. In 1979, he sat me down. He sat me down and he took me through the whole vision of the revival capital of the world. And so I wrote down all of the copy for it and put together a brochure, which we have today. I should have brought it with me. We have a brochure that was printed in 1979. He took it on one meeting and presented it, and that was it. Radio silence. Nothing, nothing, nothing after that. We got busy during the decade of the 80s on television. All of that, the decade of the 90s, getting into the 21st century, still no word about the revival capital of the world. But I would carry that brochure with me everywhere. Every office that we went to, I'd carry a copy of it with me, and I'd set it on my desk, and I'd just look at that revival capital of the world. Well, a few years ago, I was just looking at it and praying over it, and the Lord said to me to just start talking about it in church. Just start talking about the revival capital of the world in church. And I started talking about it. And when I did talk about it, I looked down at Terry and her mouth dropped. She was like, she did that. And when we got in the car after church was over, she looked at me. She said, "Do you know what you said?" I said, "What? What did I say?" She said, "Revival capital." I said, "I know I said that." She said, "Even Daddy's not saying it." Well, what happened was we just kind of had let go of all of that. We let go of that vision. But I'm telling you, that vision is back stronger than ever before. It's back. It's back. We are now unashamedly declaring what the Lord said to Brother Copeland many years ago, the revival capital of the world. And we are seeing that take place. We're seeing it happen. But we are having to exercise and use our faith and do everything that we know to believe God for what it's going to take for that. So the enlargement of our vision, I was watching that David Oyedepo church and showing it in church, going to show it in church again. And what I want my vision bigger. How about you? Yes. How about you? Do you want a bigger vision? Yes. You know, sometimes you think to yourself, you get tired of having a small vision and you want to break through. You want to break through into another place and into another realm. And that's why I love to hang around Brother Copeland. I love to hear these messages that he preached because it does something to me on the inside. It enlarges my capacity to be able to believe God for more. I want to see, and I want you to see what God has for you. I want you to see the home that he wants you to live in. I want you to see the cars that he has you driving. I want you to be a partaker of the grace of this ministry, to walk in such a place of divine prosperity that your family will look at you and say, what in the world has happened to you? What is going on? Tell us, tell us. Hallelujah. And so what we are doing in this, and I mean, I carry, this is a vision list. I carry it with me. These are just, it's like the tip of the iceberg of what Brother Copeland has us believing for. I mean, we've got the revival capital of the world. We've got plans right now. We are working with a master planning company right now. And the people that we're working with are believers. It's a wonderful thing. But this master planning company is so big, they're the ones that are completely redesigning LaGuardia Airport. And on this project here, they've got thousands of people on staff, but the Dallas office, which is their main office, these people come over and they talk to us, and they're helping us plan the revival capital of the world. And the main guy that we're working with, he said, Pastor, we do a lot of work for a lot of people. But he said, this is the only one that keeps me up at night. This is the only one that I go home on the weekend and I make sketches about this revival capital of the world. And you know what? We're believing for every available voice. Every available voice. The Lord spoke that to Brother Copeland in 1976. That was the year that I came to work. And the Lord spoke to him and talked to him and said, I want you to get this uncompromised message of faith and put it on every available voice. Every available voice. What does that mean? Every available voice. We're believing God right now, as you heard Brother Copeland say. We're believing for DirecTV. We believe that we receive DirecTV in Jesus' name. See, the vision is expanding. The vision is enlarging. And as you're sitting here listening to me right now, I want that vision to expand on the inside of you. What are you believing for? What is it that you're believing for? What is it that you believed for and you gave up on? We've been there. We've been there before, but I tell you what, there's such a stirring in this ministry like I've never seen. Now, I've been around for 42 of the 50 years. That's long enough. That's long enough to see different things happen and different changes. And there's so much excitement. There's so much going on around there. There's so much vision that's taking place. And I want the vision that I'm talking to you about right now, I want it to just jump on you. The fire of that vision, jump on you. But we are having to exercise our faith where the financing of this is concerned. And that's where the revelation here of making withdrawals from our heavenly bank account is concerned. And that's what I want you to do. That's what I'm teaching you to do. You know, one of the things that Brother Copeland, and you'll get a partner letter here soon, that he wrote about this very topic. And in his partner letter, he wrote this: the first rule of withdrawing from any account is that one has to make a deposit. And then, now I got a copy of the handwritten letter. Every time he writes a letter, it comes into the office. It goes to the publications department. And I've let the publications department knows that is immediately when that letter comes in, we send a copy of it to Pastor George. So I got a copy of that handwritten letter, and I laughed out loud because when he wrote it in his letter, he wrote, the first rule of withdrawing from any account is that one has to make a deposit, and then he wrote, duh. I laughed out loud. I thought that was great. Of course. Of course. The first rule of withdrawing is you have to make a deposit. He said, we know that is true in the natural realm, but we forget about it when it comes to heavenly things. And he said, this is all about the law of sowing and reaping. And so now you know this, but it bears repeating. How do you deposit? How do you make deposits? Well, there are the four different ways that he gives. Number one, tithing. Tithing. He said, if you are not a tither, your other deposits are not being recorded in your account. Uh-oh. Oh. Wow. I just felt somebody right now saying, I'm going to be tithing again. You can't afford not to tithe. We have to tithe. That is the very foundation to our prosperity. We must tithe. That tithing is so important. He said all of the laws of prosperity and increase depend on the blessing of the Lord, and the blessing is tied to the tither. Do you get that? The blessing is tied to the tither. So we see how our tithing has an effect with our depositing. So tithing is number one. Number two is investing in the gospel. Investing in the gospel. That's a way that you make deposits. Today, if you gave in that offering this morning, then you made a deposit. If you give in church on Sunday, you're making deposits. You've got to start thinking deposits and withdrawals. Change your mindset. Change the way you see this. See this as a deposit going into an account that you have in heaven that is accruing great interest. The bank of heaven has amazing interest. You have 100-fold that is available to you. But you have to see that. You have to believe it. Say, I believe that. Kingdom promotion giving is a spiritual transaction that provokes the release of financial fortune to the ultimate degree. That's Bishop David Oyedepo. Let me read it again to you. Kingdom promotion giving is a spiritual transaction that provokes the release of financial fortune to the ultimate degree. So that's what your giving does. Your giving releases financial fortune. Now, as I've been studying this of David Oyedepo, he says words that we don't normally use. He's talking about financial fortune. It's been a long time since I've used that word fortune. I mean, we think about the magazine, Fortune magazine. But to think of us having a financial fortune, and I say that to you. I say that to every one of you here and every one of you that are watching, that there is a financial fortune that is available to you. You and I are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. And we are heirs to the kingdom. We are royalty with a capital R. We are heirs, royal heirs. And so investing in the gospel. The third way that you deposit is by giving to the poor. Giving to the poor. It says in Proverbs 19:17, he that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given, he will pay him again. So that's another way that we make deposits. The fourth way is giving as a praise to God. Giving as a praise to God. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And Brother Copeland writes in this partner letter, he said, praise is the big gun of faith. That's good. Praise is the big gun of faith. And you heard him talking today about what Paul and Silas did at midnight. He said, praying is vitally important, but praising in the midnight hour of your financial need is even more important. And then he said this, praise is the nuclear weapon of our warfare. That's good. That's good. Praise. You give God, you give as a praise offering unto God. So those are the four ways that we make deposits into the heavenly account. Now, what I want to do is give you an example here of when Kenneth and Gloria first applied this in their lives early on in their lives. Let me read this to you. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland were living in Tulsa. And this was right after he was at ORU and he went out into the Kenneth Copeland Evangelistic Association. He was a preacher without a place to preach, driving a worn-out car with 95,000 hard miles. This is their own words, hard miles. They had children to take care of and a college to pay for. Up until this point, their financial track record was not good at all. They owed people with no apparent way to ever pay them back. However, after hearing Kenneth E. Hagin preach about faith from Mark 11:23, they decided to take action. They gathered all their debts. They listed every person and the amount owed. Now, I hope you're taking note of that. They gathered up all their debts. They listed every person and the amount that they owed. They calculated in great detail what it would take for them to operate their household. They included a 15% pad in their budget for extras. They determined what they needed in their immediate future. All of this information was written on paper in a formal prayer of agreement. Days went by before they would sign their names to the agreement. They prayed and they fasted. They repented before God for not being a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. They agreed together according to Romans 13:8 that they would never borrow another dime. They committed, now that's powerful right there. That's powerful right there. To be able to make a quality decision before the Lord that I am never going to borrow another dime. That's what Terry and I did. That's what we had to do. You know, Terry and I, we had a house many years ago. And we got that house fixed up and we sold that house into another family. We paid it off and we sold it into another family. And then we went to the bank and borrowed money for another house. And I don't know how many of you remember that fateful day that I was on the broadcast with Brother Copeland. Yeah, that has lived with me. And that day, he invited me to come on the broadcast with him and to do a week of broadcast. And so I was in the process of, we were believing, we got into a new house, but I was in the process of believing God to get out of debt. And so I thought I'd bring all my materials with me for the broadcast to talk about debt freedom, because I thought that would be really good to talk about. And about Wednesday of the broadcast, he looked at me and he said, "George, why?" And I remember the word "why." It really sounded more like "why?" He said, "You and Terry had a house, you fixed it up, you sold it, debt-free, and then you went to the bank and you borrowed the money to get into another house. Why did you do that?" And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, this is good for me. This is good for me. This is good for me. I love correction. I love correction. This is good for me. This is good for me. And I remember Carol Hill, I don't know if she's on this meeting or not with us. There she is right there. Carol's at that my camera right there. And Carol was on my camera that day. And I remember when Brother Copeland said that, it seemed like all the air was sucked out of that studio. And Carol looked around her camera like this. And if you look back at the tape, you'll see that I stumbled around my words for a moment, and then my wonderful father-in-law then explained to me why I did go back into debt, that we had not built our faith up to the degree that we needed to be in that situation. And we went through the rest of the broadcast hearing about how I was corrected on that very willingly. And you know, I've had people come up to me before and talk to me about that particular broadcast. And several years after that, Terry and I went to Russia to be with Rick and Denise Renner. We were there at their church. We were going to be speaking at their church. So we got to the Hotel Russia. The Hotel Russia overlooks the Kremlin, Red Square. And I thought, wow, this is really something. We're at this Hotel Russia. They've since torn it down. But the Hotel Russia and overlooking. And so I turned on the TV. Yep. There is Pastor George and Kenneth Copeland on the Believer's Voice of Victory on that particular broadcast in Russian. In Russian. I have proof. I took pictures of it. I have proof of it. But it was something that I needed. So Terry and I, after that broadcast was over, I made a beeline back to the house. And Terry and I had one of those discussions. We sat on the edge of the bed and talked until it got so dark we had to turn on a light. And we made the quality decision that we were getting out of debt. We were getting out of debt, made that quality decision. And I know that there are those of you right now, the Lord said to Brother Copeland, when you make a quality decision to get out of debt, the Lord backs that decision. He sees you debt free. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? If you make the quality decision to be debt-free, the Lord sees you debt-free. How many of you would like to make a quality decision right now to be debt-free? Those of you who do, stand up right now. The Lord is just so pulling me in this direction. We better go with it. We better go with it. The quality decision to be debt free. You see what Kenneth and Gloria did here. What they did was they made the decision that they were not going to borrow another dime. And one might think to themselves, how am I going to live? How am I going to live? Well, you can do it. God will back you. His word is backing you. Romans 13:8 is backing you. Deuteronomy 28 is backing you. You shall be the lender and not the borrower. You shall be the one that'll be the head and not the tail. And so we're coming before, and those of you that are watching us that are wanting to make that quality decision to be debt free, your time has come. Your time has come. We're going to lock it down right now. We're going to lock this thing down right now. Put your hand over your heart like this. Say this after me. In the name of Jesus. Father, I see from your word, according to Romans 13:8, that we are to live debt free. In Jesus' name, I make the quality decision. I'm coming out of debt, and I'm staying out of debt. I declare now by faith, I am debt free. Now, in Jesus' name. Now, praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise. Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. So what happened with Terry and I, when we made that decision, we made that quality decision, and it took a little bit, and the Lord led us to sell the house that we had. And we had another house. We bought this other house, and we bought it for cash. But then we decided that it needed to be renovated on the inside, and we decided to do it with cash. And it took us 5 years to renovate the house. We lived in an apartment. We lived in a rental house. We moved around several times, and we would get discouraged about it. Terry and I would get discouraged. Fortunately, we did have the benefit of being able to go see Brother and Sister Copeland whenever we get discouraged about it. And you're thinking like, not fair, not fair. Well, anyway, it helps because I'm about to share with you something that he shared with me. We were 5 years renovating that house, and we would pay it in cash. As the cash would come, we'd pay it out. And I remember one time I was walking through, and sometimes we'd go over there, we'd walk through the house, and Terry would be discouraged, and I'd build her up. And then there are other times I'd get discouraged, and she'd build me up. But there was one day that we both got discouraged, and it was pretty sad. And so we went over to see Brother Copeland, and we were talking to him about it, and he said, he's too wonderful. I mean, no matter how old you are, he calls you kids. So he said, kids, he said, what you have to do is look at your progress. How much progress have you made on that house? And we told him. We told him what has happened, and we added roof lines, and we added a section to it, and it wasn't done yet. He said, you got to look at your progress. And you know what, Bat? That broke it right there. That was the thing that broke it for us, that we were able to look at the progress that we were making on this house. It took us 5 years, 5 years to move into that house. And when we moved in, there were still things that were missing. There were doors that were missing. There were doorknobs. For quite a while, to get into a room, I'd have to put my finger through the hole and open up the door. But it's okay. It's okay. We're doing it debt-free. Say, debt-free. We're doing it debt-free. We're doing it debt-free. And as we, and I wish that I had approached it a little bit differently as we were going through it, because these kinds of things are amazing learning experiences. You're climbing a mountain. And man, when you get to the top and when you have gained that ground, you look back and go, whoa, we have developed our faith for debt-free living. And you come to that place. You come to a high place in that. And so we moved into the house. There were things that needed to be done, still things that needed to happen. But the thing about it is, and I do this almost every Saturday as I'm preparing for church, I'll go walking around the house. I'll walk through that house, and I'll just begin to praise God and thank you, Lord. This is a debt-free house. This is a debt-free house. This is a debt-free house. So you are launching out on your journey of debt freedom, and you need all of the kingdom arsenal that you can possibly have to be able to do it. We are in agreement with you right now that you are debt free. That you are debt free. And when Brother Copeland said that to me, he said, the moment you make that quality decision to be debt-free, the Lord sees you debt-free. He sees you debt-free. And so that pressure begins to lift, and you begin to walk it out, and you begin to apply every faith principle there is to see yourself to be debt-free and living in that debt-free home, to be completely free of that. And that's where this comes in. That's what they did. They committed, they agreed together according to Romans 13:8, that they'd never borrow another dime. They committed to God that they would pay back everyone they owed. They committed to make deposits into their heavenly bank account by faithfully tithing and sowing seed. They released their faith and they acted upon a 7-point Bank of Heaven withdrawal. This process took time, effort, prayer, focus, and diligence. They saturated themselves with God's Word and cut off every voice of the world. No TV, no newspapers, just the Word of God. But, praise God, 12 months from that day, every debt was paid in full and every need was met. Praise God! Don't allow the clock to be your enemy. We get into a place where that clock ticks and it's going and it's going and it's going. And you think to yourself, I'm not here. I'm not where I should be. I'm not. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Get a vision. See this done with the eye of faith and knowing that your brothers and sisters at Kenneth Copeland Ministries are in agreement with you. We are in agreement with you about it. Don't get discouraged over it. In due time, you will harvest. If you do not throw in the towel and give up, we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're not going to throw in the towel. You're not going to throw in the towel. We are seeing God move in magnificent ways. Now, they released their faith and acted upon a 7-point Bank of Heaven withdrawal. Are you ready to make a withdrawal? I said, are you ready to make a withdrawal? Yes. Do you want to know what the 7-point withdrawal slip is all about? Are you ready to write some things down? Okay, this is it. This is the outline for you right here. Number one, and I think what I'll do, I'm going to give these 7 to you. You write them down, give a little bit of space in between each one, and I'll fill in a couple of things before we finish this today. But number one, James 1, 5 through 8, decide on the amount that you need to withdraw. Decide on the amount that you need to withdraw. That's James 1, 5 through 8. That's number one. Number two, Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Get in agreement with people of like faith. Get in agreement with people of like faith. Matthew 18, 19, and 20. Number three, are you ready for number three? No? Number one, James 1, 5 through 8, decide on the amount that you need to withdraw. Number two is Matthew 18, 19, and 20, get in agreement with people of like faith. Number three, are you ready? Mark 11, 23 and 24. Claim what you need by faith. Claim what you need by faith. Number four. Claim what you need by faith. Now, and all of this is on your notes too, if you want to download those. But number four, Matthew 18:18, bind the devil and his forces. Bind the devil and his forces. Number five. Stop. Number five. Hebrews 1:14. Loose the angelic forces. Loose the angelic forces. I mean, send your angels out there to go get it. Go get it and bring it to you. Hebrews 1:14, loose the angelic forces. Psalm 34:1, that's number six. continually praise and thank God. Continually praise and thank God. Psalm 34:1, continually praise and thank God. And then number 7. And I'm going to give you 3 scriptures here and then the line that comes after it. But the 3 scriptures are this. John 13:34 is the first one. James 3:16 is the second one. Mark 11:25-26 is the third one. John 13:34, James 3:16, Mark 11:25-26. And number 7 is walk in love. Walk in love and avoid strife and unforgiveness. Walk in love and avoid strife and unforgiveness at all costs. And let me just go down through these very quickly with you again and make a couple of comments. This first one, James 1:5-8, decide on the amount that you need to withdraw. What Brother Copeland says, don't just pick some number off the top of your head. Be exact. Be single-minded once you've settled on that amount. And list out the needs, the debts, the desires that you have. And he says your heavenly banker wants you to have the desires of your heart. And it says in 1 Timothy 6:17, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. So you decide upon the amount. Do you know what we're doing right now at Kenneth Copeland Ministries? Brother Copeland gave me an assignment that I'm working with my executive team and the staff on. And the assignment is this. I asked him the other day, I said, because he usually gives us this, what we are to believe God for the new year. And so I went to him the other day and I said, what should we be believing God for? He said, I want you to do that. No pressure. I want you to do that. But really, I mean, we are well equipped to do that because there are things that need to be fixed, things that need to be done, things that we're believing for, and we pray in the Spirit and we find out. We pray in the Spirit and we find out exactly. So we're pulling all that together. I'll present it with him and then he'll give the final sign off on what we're to believe God for the income for next year. But you do the same thing. Write down these things. All of the things that you're believing God to get out of debt, the needs that you have, whatever it is, payment of school, college, the children's school, whatever it is, you have it in your heavenly bank account and you need to withdraw it. The second one, getting in agreement with people of like faith. We're setting ourselves in agreement with you right now over this. But you need to get in agreement, whether it's husband and wife, which a husband and wife is the most powerful agreement force that there is. But if you're not married, or maybe whatever, you can get with somebody who believes like you believe, that you can encourage each other. In Mark 11:23, claim what you need by faith. It belongs to you. And it's in your account. You put it there. It's yours. It is yours to withdraw when you need it. The fourth one, Matthew 18:18, bind the devil and his forces. You tell the devil, Satan, take your hands off my money. Say this after me. Devil, take your hands off my money. We have to remember that it's ours. It belongs to us. It belongs to us and Jesus, and the devil has no claim on it whatsoever. We bind him first before heaven has the authority to bind from their side. So we use that authority that God has given us to bind the devil and his forces. On number 5, Hebrews 1:14, loose the angelic forces. You better believe that we've been keeping our angels busy at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, EMIC. We are sending them out all the time. In the name of Jesus, angels, you go get our airplanes. You go get our airplanes. We are not, we have a fleet that we're calling in. We're calling in the fleet in Jesus' name. Because there are places to go, things to do, and people to help. Amen. 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 Well, so we loose the angelic forces. In number 6, Psalm 34:1, continually praise and thank God. If there's one thing that I can say to you today, what do you do between the amen of your prayer and the there it is? You fill it with continual praise and thanksgiving to God. That is your voice of faith and action. Praise is the expression of your faith because you see it. You see it. I love to see things with the eye of faith. I've gotten to the place where I am not moved by what I see anymore. I am not moved by buildings that need to be fixed or anything like that. I talk to them. I talk to buildings. One day after church, I was talking about these things and about speaking to things. And I got a report from one of the people at our church, several people at our church. They saw Brother and Sister Copeland on the runway talking to the runway. They were talking to the runway. In Jesus' name, runway, you be replaced. You be replaced in the name of Jesus. You need to start talking to things. Talk to your car. Talk to your house. Talk to it. And give God praise. Give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. I am debt free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me for ignoring you up there. There you are. I see you all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I am debt free. You fill your mouth with praise from the time you say amen. From the time you and I said amen to that commitment to be debt free, from this moment on, the only thing that comes out of your mouth is praise and thanksgiving that it's done. That it's done. That it's done. I wish Terry and I had done a better job with that when we were going through that 5-year stretch, but we learned. We learned from it. We learned to be patient with it and to put the force of patience to work in our lives. So from the amen on, what are you going to do? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, I'm debt free. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so you continually praise Him. You know, even I like what Brother Copeland said, even if it goes past the deadline, stay in faith. That's good. That's good. Because you don't allow yourself to get discouraged. You don't allow yourself to get down. You can't do that. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'll tell you, that's one of my favorite scriptures. David had to encourage himself. There are times when Pastor George has to encourage himself. There are times when Brother Copeland has to encourage himself. There's time when we all have to encourage ourselves. How do we do it? We just tell ourselves, hey, according to the Word of God, I'm debt free. I am debt free, and I thank God for it. I thank you, Lord, that we have all the finances that it takes to do everything we need to do in the ministry. I thank you that our storehouses are overflowing. They're overflowing. Glory to God, they're overflowing. And you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. And so that's what you do. You continually praise and thank God. And then the final one, walk in love. Avoid strife and unforgiveness at all costs. We find here that where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. So we don't want to shut down anything. By getting out of the walk of love, we stay in that lane. We stay in the love lane. We stay in the love walk. And don't let unforgiveness, if there's somebody you need to release, let it go. Let him go. If somebody has hurt you, offended you, if there's an ex that you... It's like that song, I left all my exes in Texas. Anyway, if there's a... See, now I'm from the Northeast. And now I'm a Texan. Woohoo! Love y'all. So that's the 7-point outline that we have. Now I want you to stand up right now with me because you and I are now going to make a withdrawal. We're going to make a withdrawal. Now you're going to have to do your homework. You're going to have to find out what it is you put in the blank. If you get those notes, all of these scriptures, everything is on here, including what I'm about to read to you. If you're serious about this, if you're serious about walking in the highest degree of prosperity that there is, you need to know how to operate the laws of prosperity. These things work. They work for us. And as for the ministry, we are exercising our faith aggressively to call in that harvest. We are calling in that harvest. We are believing for $1 million a day. I said we're believing for $1 million a day. We're believing for that. And your faith is like a thermostat. You set the thermostat where you want the temperature. Well, it takes a few moments for it to start to climb. But you set that thermostat. You've got to set the thermostat of faith. Brother Copeland for us has set the thermostat of faith at $1 million a day. He set the thermostat of faith of 1 million worldwide partners. He set the thermostat of faith for 10 million souls in the kingdom of God. He set the thermostat of faith for every available voice. The thermostat of faith for DirecTV. Does this sound impossible? In the natural realm, it is. But in the spirit realm, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So you do that. You set that thermostat. You find out what it is. What are you believing for? You put that down on that paper. What are you doing? You're setting the thermostat. Then what do you do after that? You apply your faith. You apply these things. You praise God. You keep sowing. You keep sowing, and you keep believing, and you keep receiving, and you keep the faith momentum going. There's a momentum of faith. There's a momentum of faith right now at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, EMIC. It's like I've never seen it before. It's a momentum like we've never experienced. And the Lord said to me, when I first stepped into this position, He said to me at the beginning of this year, He said, you will get more done in this 1 year than you have in the last 20 years. And I started figuring it out. For every day like today, for every day, I get 20 days worth of something done. 20 days in 1 day. That is I wish I had time because I've got a whole teaching on supernatural acceleration because it's happening. It's happening. We are seeing things take place. Things are happening so fast. I'm telling you, we are getting more done in this 1 year than we have in 20 years. More done. Now, yes, you stand there. You can clap for the ministry. But those of you who know how to take the exchange of the anointing know that this is available to you as well. Are you going to take that right now? Say this after me. I'm getting done. More.
In one year.
Than I have in 20. Supernatural acceleration. It's happening. There's a scripture that I've been reading. You know, by this time tomorrow. Remember that one? By this time tomorrow. I'm telling you, by this time tomorrow. By this time tomorrow. Oh, by this time tomorrow. Oh, yeah, by this time tomorrow. Woo! I thought about we're like spiritual FedEx. When you absolutely, positively have to get it there next day. Next day service. It's happening. It's happening faster and faster and faster. If it's happening to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, EMIC, then for the partners that are in this room, take it! Take it! Are you ready to make a withdrawal? Okay, we're driving up to the Bank of Heaven window right now. Here we go together. Here we go. And this is how you do it. And it's in your notes. Say this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we make a withdrawal. Now, what I did here is I put the word of and then a dollar sign and then a blank. That's up to you. What's up to you? What is the Lord leading you to put into that place right there? And He'll work with you. He'll work with you. You know, don't write in there $1 billion gazillion. Don't do that. No, you reap, but like Keith Moore says, you reap by faith. The faith that you have to reap. And so you put in that you work with the Holy Spirit. That's why Kenneth and Glory didn't sign that thing right away. They were working with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tweak it. The Holy Spirit will show you. He'll reveal to you, okay, this is where we're going to start. Every step is a step of faith. Every step is a step of faith. And what happens is that it's like climbing a mountain. You take it one step at a time. And so as you develop and as you grow, He'll show you what you need to believe for right now to get your faith up to the next level. Then you get it up to the next level and you get it up to the next level and to the next level. I can tell you this, that it's different for me doing this job as executive director this time than it was in 1988. I had so many sleepless nights in 1988. I worried so much. It's crazy. It was crazy. I remember the first time that we received our television bill, $2 million. $2 million television bill. I ran over to the chapel and I dove under chairs. I was like, oh God, do we have to do this every month? Every month? And then I went to the phone and I called Kenneth and Gloria. I said, the $2 million bill just came in. And they laughed. But you know something? It's changed. It's changed. From the time that I did it before to the time that I'm doing it now, there has been a difference in my life. My faith has come up. I've learned a few things in 25 years. I've learned a few things. I've grown in some things. And now I pretty much stay drunk all the time. Because I know that everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. So you work with the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I make a withdrawal from my heavenly bank account. I have this money in my account. I'm withdrawing it right now. According to Mark 11, 23 and 24, I believe it in my heart. I confess that it is mine. From this day forward, I roll the care over unto you and will thank you for it. Satan, I take authority over you. I bind your operation and render you helpless. Ministering spirits, I charge you to go forth. Cause this amount to come to us. According to Hebrews 1:14. Now, Father, I praise your name for meeting my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you for multiplying our seed, for sowing in the name of Jesus. You have just made a withdrawal from your heavenly account. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, real quick, somebody move that podium, and pastors and ministers fivefold, get up here right now. Now, come on, move. 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 Glory to God. This is what the Lord put into my heart for every pastor, for every minister. And as we do this in a moment, I'm then going to have you turn around and put your hands out to these people here, because it's going to flow through you. There are things that you've been believing for. There are things that you have required of the Lord, things that you have not seen take place. But the time has come. The time has come. We just made a withdrawal from our heavenly account. And I know that you're givers, I know that you're sowers, and I know that you're believing. You're believing for expansion. You're believing for increase. You're believing as well as we are. As well as we are. As a pastor, I'm believing for the increase in my church. I am believing for Bishop Oyedepo kind of results in my church. It should be. It should be. And it will be. And it will be. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Now stretch your hands out to these pastors and ministers. In the name of Jesus, we pray over all of these pastors, all of these ministers. Oh, the fire of God come through them, on them. And Lord, we agree together that every need that they have for their churches and their ministries is fully supplied. Equipment, you come in the name of Jesus. People, you come. You come to these churches. Fill them up. Fill them to overflowing. Holy Spirit, you move in their services. Move in ways that they've never seen before. Father, we've just made a withdrawal from our accounts. And we're calling in for these ministries. These ministries are prosperous. We say in Jesus' name that they will have the best year that they've ever had. ever, ever, ever. New records being set. New records being set. Now, like I said before, some might be even thinking to themselves, whoa, it's almost the middle of November. We have 1 month left. Stop thinking that way. Stop thinking at all. And start believing. God can do in one day. God can do in one day. One day. What it would take years to do. I believe it. I believe it for our ministry, for our church. I believe it for you. Don't let the calendar shut you down. If you have to, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Do you not have to do the same thing with the calendar that we've done with our clock in the church? We took it down. We took it down. Like right now, I have no idea what time it is. No idea. You know how liberating that is? You know how wonderful that is? You know how grateful I am to the Lord for that? Well, don't let the calendar push you around. I'm declaring over you the greatest year your ministry has ever had. Ever had. New records are being set. And you just keep your stand of faith on that withdrawal. Oh, you see it. You see it. Now, every one of you, turn around and face this congregation and those people that are watching us from all over the world. Stretch your hands out to them right now. Now, congregation, I want you to receive. There's an anointing that's going to go out through this place and through this camera that'll knock you over. It'll knock you over. It'll do you the same way that it did Sheba, the queen of Sheba, when she saw what happened with Solomon and she saw the wealth. It knocked her over. She fainted. There's going to be such a force of the prosperity of God that'll come in you and on you. It'll knock you over. In the name of Jesus, this army of ministers here that are full of the Holy Ghost, we stretch our hands out to the people and in Jesus' name, receive, receive, receive the prosperity of Almighty God. Now pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, turn around. Turn around. And I'll leave you. I'm going to leave you with this. As a matter of fact, you guys go back to your seats. Your ministers can go back to your seats. And Len, come on up. Or Kurt, are you?
He's going to do after me, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to leave you with this. What I began with at the beginning, the word from Jerry Savelle. There is a level of prosperity that you have never known nor even hoped for. But I am empowering all those who dare believe that it is available. And I'll show them how to tap into it. And it will begin to manifest in their lives. I will take them to a higher level of prosperity and success, which they did not ever think was possible. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going with you. We're going with you to a level of your prosperity that we have never known before. In the name of Jesus.
God is rewarding your faithfulness.
Yes.
God is rewarding your faithfulness. Your seed, not going to dig up your seed. The seed has no choice but to come up if you don't dig it up and look at it every day. God will reward and is rewarding. It's a setup. You're being set up. You better get ready and build bigger barns.
Yeah.
Bigger barns.
Oh, glory to God.